नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 5 वर्स नंबर 16 सृष्टप्ययाकरिं मायां वेलाकुलान्तवेगितां मतस्य तामविज्ञस्य किं सत्कर्म विवर्भवेत् सृष्टप्ययकरिं माया वेलाकुलान्तवेगिता मतस्य तामविज्ञस्य किमसत्कर्मभिर्भवे सृष्टप्ययकरिं माया वेलाकुलान्तवेगिता मतस्य तामविज्ञस्य किं सत्कर्म विभर्भवेत् सत्कर्म भिर्भवेत् माताजी सृष्टि क्रिएशन अपया अपया डिसोल्यूशन करिम वन हु कॉजेस मायाम द इल्यूशनरी एनर्जी वेला कुल अंत नियर द बैंक्स वेगितम बीइंग वेरी रैपिड मतस्य ऑफ वन हु इज मैड ताम दैट मटीरियल नेचर अविज्ञस्य who does not know kim asat karma bhi bhavet what benefit can there be by performing temporary fruitive activities translation and purport by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ji maharaj ki narad muni has said that there is a river flowing in both the directions the harishwas understood the purport of this statement Material nature functions in two ways, by creation and dissolution. Thus the river of the material nature flows both the ways. A living entity who unknowingly falls in this river is submerged in its waves. And since the current is swifter near the banks of the river, he is unable to get out. What will be the benefit of performing fruitive activities in that river of Maya? Purport. One may be submerged in the waves of the river of Maya. But one may also get free from the waves by coming to the banks of knowledge and austerity. Near these banks, however, the waves are very strong. If one does not understand how he is being tossed up by the waves, but simply engages in temporary fruitive activities, what benefit will he derive? In Brahma Samhita, there is a statement, Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Saktir Eka Chayaiva Yasya Bhuvanani Bibharti Durga. The Maya Shakti Durga is in charge of Srishti Stiti Pralaya, creation and dissolution, and she acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Maya Dakshina Prakruti Suyate Cha Characharam. When one falls in the river of nescience, he is always tossed here and there by the waves. But the same Maya can also save him when he surrenders to Krishna, or he becomes Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is knowledge and austerity. A Krishna conscious person takes knowledge from the Vedic literature, and at the same time, he must practice austerities. To attain freedom from the material life, one must take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if one very busily engages in so-called advancement of science, what benefit will he derive? If one is carried away by the waves of nature, what is the meaning of being a great scientist or philosopher? Mundane science and philosophy are also material creations. One must understand how Maya works and how one can be released from the tossing waves of river of nescience. That is one's first duty. Before starting, I would like to offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada and all the assembled Vaishnavas. Kindly give you a blessing so that I can discuss Harikatha here. Thank you very much. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanam Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Sri Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Sri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Nityanandamaham Nomi Sarvananda Karamparam Harinama Pradam Devam Avaduta Shiromanim Anandalila Maya Vigrahaya Hemambadivya Chavisundaraya Tasmai Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratishve Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So in this chapter, relates how the sons of Daksha, who were delivered from the cycle of birth and death by the causeless mercy of Srila Narad Muni. Now, influenced by the external energy, Maya, Daksha Prajapati begot 10,000 sons from the womb of Panchajani. She, and one most important point with this, all these 10,000 sons were that their character and their mentality were one. All of them have same nature. It's very surprising, but all of them had the same nature. And that's why they were called as Haryashwas. So, Daksha Prajapati, he ordered his 10,000 sons to generate progeny. So it is a normal tendency that before doing any work, we require some strength. So this 10,000 sons of Daksha Prajapati, they went for doing tapasya. And where did they went? They went to the west of the place where river Sindhu meets the Arabian Sea. There is a lake there. That lake is called as Narayan Saras. And that place is so auspicious, it's like a dham. So in that place, so many rishis, just like we have Naimisharanya, we have Badrika Ashram. Similarly, this particular place, Narayan Saras, is very, very auspicious and very potent to fulfill all the desires. So these 10,000 sons of Daksha Prajapati, they decided to perform tapasya there. And in the association of sadhus who were present there. So this Haryashvasas, they began practicing austerities, penances, meditation, and all these things. For what? For increasing the population. But Srila Narad Muni was not able to tolerate or digest this thing. What he was able to not digest this thing, that one has to do so much tapasya, so much austerity, and so many other things just for increasing the population. Narad Muni said, I cannot tolerate this. I am meant for something else, so I have to do now something. So Narad Muni, he met them, Sadhu Sangh. So all the 10,000s, it was not very difficult for Narad Muni to convince all the 10,000, because all of them were having one character, one mentality. So Narad Muni explained the transcendental goal of the life, the ultimate goal of the life, and advised them, ki, do not waste your life, do not waste your life, or do not perform all this tapasya only for getting progeny. No need. That part can be taken care by someone else. You only utilize this time of yours in getting the Supreme Lord. So, in this way, by Narad Muni's mercy, all the 10,000 sons of Daksh Prajapati started chanting the holy name, hearing Bhagavatam, and so many other things. And in this way, they got delivered. So we have to understand, we must understand that after going through lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of species of life, we get a human birth. This we have learned. But what is the param artha? What is the param artha of our life? What is the supreme goal of our life? The supreme goal of our life is Krishna prema bhakti. is to obtain Krishna, to bound Krishna in our heart. This is our topmost goal. To bound Krishna in the heart cannot be possible until we develop prema. So we should always hanker for two particular things, always in our life. If you are hankering for these particular things in our life, that means we are on the right track. First is Sadhu Sangha. We should always hanker for realized souls, for Sadhu Sangha. And the second thing we have to hanker for is to get Krishna Prema Bhakti. So both are interconnected, but these two things we have to hanker for. Sadhu Sangha and Krishna Prema Bhakti. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that Bhaktya Tvannaya Shakya Ahameva Vidho Arjuna Gyatum Drashtum Sa Tatvena Praveshtum Sa Parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by my undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way you can enter into the mysteries of my understandings. Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and all the Vedic literatures, repeatedly they say one thing, that Krishna can be obtained only by bhakti. That Krishna can be obtained only by devotional service, bhakti. But how can we get bhakti? The question is, how will we get bhakti? Bhaktistu bhagavat bhakta sangena parijayate. By the association of a bhagavat bhakta, a sadhu, a devotee of the Lord, one develops bhakti. That is, by sadhu sangha, a shuddha association with a sadhu, one develops bhakti. Here also, in this case of Daksha Prajapati, the sons of Daksha Prajapati, they got the association of Narad Muni, a sadhu. And by their association, all their goal of life was completely changed. Now I want to tell you what happens when comes in the association of Sadhu Sangha. We know when we are traveling the train, what happens is that sometimes the train has to go to a different direction. So the engine has to be changed. The engine has to be taken from the first end, and it has to be put from the last end, so that the direction can be changed. So we cannot do this in the middle of the journey. We need a junction. We need a junction. The train has to come to a junction, then the engine has to be taken off from the front side, and it has to be put on the back side, and then the train goes in the different directions. Similarly, if we our life is, our consciousness, our life is going towards, our chetana and everything, we are completely engrossed in material activities, thinking of material gains, material profits. But we need a junction. This junction is sadhu sangha. And at this junction, all our life will change. When we come in the association of sadhu, what will come out? Krishna katha. And when we hear about Krishna katha, naturally we will get attracted to the glories of the Lord. And we will give up the attachment towards material world and we will get attached to Krishna. So this junction is sadhu sangha. At this junction, our engine, which is our train, which is going towards sense enjoyment, the engine will come out. We have to remove this. The sadhu will do that. He will remove the engine and will put it on the front side so that we can, and our train will go to the direction of prema bhakti. So this junction is sadhu sangha. We see in the life of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was born in the family of a demon. But by the association of a sadhu, Narada Muni, he got his association of Narada Muni in the womb of his mother. And by the causeless mercy of Narada Muni, Prahlad Maharaj became a great devotee of the Lord. Same thing happened with Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had a material desire. His desire was that I want a kingdom which is bigger than my father, bigger than my grandfather, bigger than my great grandfather. He wanted a place which is above Brahmaloka. This is a material desire. But he came in the association of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni tested him. Whether he is qualified for this act, for getting the Supreme Lord Narayana. So after testing Narada Muni blessed him. Not only he showed him the path how to get the Lord, but he blessed him that in 6 months of time, the Supreme Lord will be standing in front of me. This is my order to the Supreme Lord. That you are my disciple and I bless you that he will stand in front of you. You will get his darshan in 6 months. This is the kripa of a sadhu. Then in the 10th canto we see Nalakuvar and Manigriv. They were engrossed completely. They were the sons of Kuvera. Can you imagine sons of Kuvera? They were engaged in such an abominable activity. They were taking bath naked with girls in Shivaloka on the banks of the Ganges. Narada Muni, he saw that these are the sons of the demigods and he felt compassionate on them. And being merciful, he cursed them. But that curse was not a curse, that was actually a boon. Because they got the darshan of Nandalal. They took birth as a trees, but where? In the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So we cannot say this is a curse, this is a boon. So this happens when, by any cause, if it comes in the association of sadhus, by the sadhus' mercy, Nalakuvar and Manigriv were delivered. Then King Rahugan. King Rahugan was going to meet Dattatreya ji. He was coming from Sindhu Pradesh and he was walking. And whom did he come across? Jad Bharat. Jad Bharat in his life never did he spoke a single word to anybody because he didn't consider anybody as adhikari to receive the transcendent knowledge. But when he came across Rahugan, King Rahugan, he broke his vow of silence and started speaking the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord. And in no time,
Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shishi Radha Ras Bihari Lalita Vishaka ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai.
In no time, Maharaj Rahugan was convinced, and he also himself became a Paramhamsa. Then Maharaj Ayati. In the life of Maharaj Ayati, Maharaj Ayati was completely engrossed in the materialistic activities. He was only enjoying with his wife day in and day out, Devyani. But he was a pious king, so he was performing yagyas in his palace. So he used to invite sadhus, and when the sadhus used to come to greet him, to meet him, they used to tell him about Ambarish Maharaj. They are seeing the condition of Yayati Maharaj, the sadhus who used to come to his place, they used to narrate the glories of Maharaj Ambarish. And by hearing the glories of Maharaj Ambarish, Yayati Maharaj saw to himself, oh, Ambarish Maharaj is such an elevated soul. He is engaging all his senses in the service of the Lord. But now what I am doing?
What am I doing? So Yayati Maharaj, by the mercy of those sadhus and removing the pastimes of Amrish Maharaj, he decided to quit his kingdom and go to the forest. So there is one, this similar incidents happen in the life of Maharaj Parikshit. This particular thing, this life of Maharaj Parikshit, I want to take in little detail. There are some points which I want to highlight. Maharaj Parikshit, once he was hunting in the jungle. At that time, Maharaj Parikshit was thirsty. And Maharaj Parikshit, he happened to go to an ashram of Shamik Rishi. So Shamik Rishi, actually he was meditating in trance. But Maharaj Parikshit, because Maharaj Parikshit was hungry and thirsty, he was thinking that this sadhu, this sage, was pretending. And he got very upset. Why he got very upset? Because normally when the atithi comes, we should welcome him by sweet words, at least water or something. Or within whatever is our capacity, we should welcome the guest. But Parikshit saw that all these things were not happening. So he got very upset. And Parikshit Maharaj, he picked up a dead snake and put it on the neck of the sage and he left. This news, it went to the son of Shamik Rishi, Sringi. And when Sringi heard this, that my father has been tortured in such a way by a Kshatriya king, he got very upset. And immediately he cursed Maharaj Parikshit that in 7 days of time, Takshaka, the snake bird, will come and kill you. Now Maharaj Parikshit, when he was on the way to his palace, he was thinking, was the act which I performed, was it appropriate or was it inappropriate? He was contemplating that, was that sage really in trance or he was just avoiding me? So he was contemplating, and then he realized that he had did a Vaishnava aparad, that he had completed an offense. So now Maharaj Parikshit started praying to the Supreme Lord, "Oh my dear Lord, I pray that all kinds of calamities should come on me because I have offended a sadhu. Let all my wealth go away, let all my kingdom go away, let all my family and everything go away, and I became a mendicant. Let this thing happen to me because I have committed a Vaishnava aparad." So he is praying in this way. And here, Sringi went crying to his father, and seeing the loud crying of Sringi, Shamik Rishi, he opened his eyes and he saw a dead snake on his neck. So he removed the snake and he asked, "Why are you crying?" Then he explained the whole thing. To Shamik Rishi. The son explained everything to him, and then the father was so shocked. The father explained that the Emperor Parikshit is a pious king. He is a highly celebrated and a first class devotee of the Lord. And he is a saint amongst royalty and he has performed many horse sacrifices. And when such a king is fatigued and thirsty and is coming to our house, is coming to our ashram, we have no rights to treat him in this way. He might have committed this thing, but this is a small thing. More important than that is because of Maharaj Parikshit, still, even after Kali Yuga is active, it is not activated. It is not activated. Kali Yuga is not able to show his presence. So in this way, the sage was trying to convince, but he was also lamenting. And Maharaj Parikshit here was praying continuously, and he was also lamenting. At that time, the Shamik Rishi sent a disciple of his Gauramukha to give a message to Maharaj Parikshit that you have only 7 days left with you. So Maharaj Parikshit receives the message he has only 7 days, and he becomes very happy. Why he becomes very happy? He prays, thank God. He becomes very happy because now the action which he has performed, he has got the reaction to that, and further he will not get any reactions. And he started thinking that I am an uncivilized person, so I should be punished. So in this way, Maharaj Parikshit, he gives up everything, all his worldly kingdom, opulence, everything, and he goes to the banks of Ganga and he sits there, and all the assemblies and this news that Maharaj Parikshit is about to die in 7 days, this news reaches far and wide, and from all the telephone calls, SMSs, Facebook, WhatsApp, everything, we have this today, but they have the transcendental way of communicating during those days. So the message went far out and all of them came to the assembly where Maharaj Parikshit was sitting on the banks of Ganges and he was fasting until death. And then the sages, when Maharaj Parikshit saw all the sages were coming one by one, Maharaj Parikshit offered the dandavats to each one of them. And Maharaj Parikshit, he was very happy. He was thinking that even though I have committed such a big apradh to a sadhu, still the Lord is very kind to me and is sending all the sages to me. Everybody, all of us, we want this situation to come in our life. That when we are leaving the body at the time of our death, we want that all the sadhus, they should come around us and they should do kirtan. All the Vaishnavas, they should come around, they should do kirtan and we should leave our body in a peaceful way. Aren't we hankering for this? This is the goal of our life, to remember Krishna at the time of death. So we all want that situation like Parikshit should come in our life. That at the time of death, so many sadhus from all over the world, from all the lokas, all the sadhus were coming there. So if we also want this situation to come to our life, then we shall not hurt any Vaishnavas. Any Vaishnavas. So that when we are about to leave the body, all the Vaishnavas can come, gather and give you all the blessings to us, so then we can peacefully perform our final journey back home, back to Godhead. So we shall try to please all the Vaishnavas by our as much as possible. So, when this all the great, who were the great sages who appeared? Atri, Chavana, Aristena, Bhrugu, Vashishta, Parashara, Vishwamitra, Angira, Parshuram, Devala, Vyasadevan, Shila and Narad Muni. Narad Muni is everywhere, we cannot avoid Narad Muni. Narad Muni appeared there. So, Parikshit Maharaj, he asked two questions to this all assembly of sadhus. The first question is that, tell me, what is the unalloyed duty of everyone in all the circumstances? This is a common question he asks. What is the unalloyed duty of everybody? And the second thing he asks that, specifically a person who is about to die, what is his duty? And when he was just inquiring from these sages about these two questions, a 16-year-old boy, Shukdev Goswami, appeared there on the place. Shukdev Goswami came there. And all of a sudden, all the sadhus who were thousands of years of age, and he was just a mere 16 years old boy, and there were Narad Muni, Vedavyas, and so many others, they all stood up from their seats to welcome Shukdev Goswami. A 16-year-old boy. But they all seeing the symptoms in his body, all the symptoms of Mahabhagavata, all of them stood with respect. And they indicated Maharaj Parikshit, your answer has come. Please take shelter of Shukdev Goswami. All the sages they indicated that here is your answer. So Maharaj Parikshit, look how he is dealing with the situation. Maharaj Parikshit immediately, as soon as he saw Shukdev Goswami, he offered his dandavat to Shukdev Goswami. He gave him an elevated seat. And then after giving him an elevated seat, worshipping him nicely as if worshipping the Supreme Lord, Maharaj Parikshit then kept his head on the lotus feet of Shukdev Goswami and then he inquired these two questions. And in the reply, Shukdev Goswami narrated Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. So if this is the way one should approach a sadhu, in a humble way, in a very sweet way, then only Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashita. Otherwise there is no Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashita. We will hear hundreds and thousands of classes, but this mood is not there in the disciple, this mood is not there in the devotee, then no transcendental knowledge will be revealed in the heart. Forget it. Only our devotional service will be on the gross level, not subtle level. So to get the mercy of sadhus, this mood is the most important thing. So by the example of Narad Muni's mercy on Haryashwas, by the mercy of Narad Muni's mercy on प्रहलाद महाराज, ध्रुव महाराज, नल कुबेरा, द मर्सी ऑन किंग रघुगन बाय जड भरत एंड बाय द मर्सी ऑफ साधुज ऑन महाराज जयाति, वी कैन कम टू वन कॉन्क्लूशन. एंड द कॉन्क्लूशन इज दैट साधु शास्त्र कृपा यदि कृष्णम उन्मुख होय से जीवा निस्तारे माया तहारे छाड़ाए. If a conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of a saintly person who voluntarily preaching scriptural injections and help him to become Krishna conscious, the conditioned soul is liberated from the clutches of Maya. So when Maya sees that a jiva is taking shelter of sadhus and hearing scriptures, hearing shastra from the mouths of the sadhus, then the Maya, she releases the jiva from the her bounds. She says, my good wishes, please go ahead. So, but Maya, when she bounds jiva in two ways. There are two kinds of covering power exhibited in Maya. One is called as prakshepatmika shakti, and second is called as avaratmika shakti, avaranatmika. When one is determined to get out of material bondage, when we want to get out of this material bondage, the prakshekatmika shakti of Maya Devi, she spells diversion. She puts so many obstacles and impels, forces one to remain in this conditioned life. And we become fully satisfied by the sense gratification. And the second potency of Maya Devi is avaranatmika. What she does is that conditioned soul, she feels satisfied. Avaran, there is a coverage on the jiva, and the conditioned soul feels satisfied even if he gets the body of a pig. Even if he is in a stool in the womb, he feels so satisfied that he is getting all what he wants. So this is the causeless mercy of Maya Devi. So when jiva is under this, in this way Maya captures jiva. So we can understand that to release a conditioned soul from the material bondage is very difficult. Because the spell of the Maya, because Maya Devi is very, very strong. But there is a way. That's why Maya Mukta Jivera Nahi Swata Krishna Gyan. Krishna has made some divine arrangement for all the jivas to come out of the cycle of birth and death. And the arrangement is Maya Mukta Jivera Nahi Swata Krishna Gyan Jivera Kripaya Kaila Krishna Ved Puran. The conditioned souls, they cannot revive their original consciousness by their own. By our own, we have no potency to come out from the cycle of birth and death, to overcome Maya. It happens only by the sadhu, by the mercy of sadhus, the shastras. Lord Krishna, he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, and different Puranas for our deliverance. Maya's business is to keep the jiva trapped in her bounds. But she understands that the real relationship of the jiva is with Krishna, but still this is her seva for Krishna. To stop the jiva going towards Krishna. She stops. And thus under her influence, under the influence of Maya Devi, the jiva, he forgets that we are Krishna, the Jivere Krishna Nitya Das. Jiva is Krishna's servant. And he starts engaging in so many material activities. And slowly, when he gets entangled in the material world, he becomes a servant of lust, he becomes a servant of anger, he becomes a servant of greed, he becomes a servant of envy. And then slowly he starts speculating on his life, he does mental speculation, and so many other things, he forgets Krishna completely. And he thinks that my only goal of the life is to earn money, is to get a BMW car, is to get a nice bungalow, or enjoy whatever, earn as much money as I can and enjoy. This goal becomes the goal of the jiva. But out of the causeless mercy, Krishna, he compiles the Vedic literature. Now what happens with the Vedic literature? The Vedic literature was written 5,000 years ago. But the sadhus, the acharyas who came after that, they all used to sing of the glories of the Lord. And they used to sing and they used to glorify the Supreme Lord. And by glorifying the Supreme Lord, The jivas who hear from the sadhus, they get attracted to Krishna. So Krishna came in this material world, he performed his divine pastimes just to attract the conditioned soul. It is not that Krishna came 5,000 years ago and that 5,000 years ago only the job of Krishna was done. No, Krishna, after performing his divine pastime, he himself came as Vedavyas Dev and he compiled Vedic literature for the benefit of us. So that, and the sadhus, Srila Prabhupada and so many other, they went to the Western world and they distributed these scriptures openly and freely to everybody. And today we are here because of the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada ji. And so many also previously, so many acharyas, they have been preaching these teachings of the scriptures to one and all. And all the conditioned souls are getting benefit by this. So, Shastra Guru Atma Rupe Apanera Janan Krishna Mora Prabhu Tata Jiver Hai Gyan. The forgetful conditioned living entity, when he hears about the glories, pastime of the Lord, what happens to him? He comes to know that Krishna is Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, that Krishna is the only living friend of all the living entities. And what he does is that he gets attracted to the transcendental form, pastimes of the Lord, and he gives up his hankering for material world. He understands that Krishna is my father, Krishna is my mother, tomeva mata cha pita tomeva, tomeva bandhu cha sakha tomeva, tomeva vidya cha dravinam tomeva, tomeva sarva mama deva deva. After hearing from the mouths of sadhus, the jiva understands that the only relationship I have in this material world is with Lord Shri Krishna. And all my relationships are temporary. But unless and until we come, we hanker for association of the sadhus, and until and unless we hanker for prema bhakti, we cannot progress. These two things are very important in our life. So, Srila Prabhupada is making a point here that, in this purport, is that when such a situation comes in the life of a sadhu, in jiva, that he gets a sadhu sangha, that a Maya Devi herself, she releases that jiva from the bounds of her, and she encourages that jiva to get shelter of Krishna, to get prema bhakti. So Krishna helps us in three ways. First is, he has, in the form of Vedavyas, he has written Vedic scriptures. Second, Guru. That Paramatma, he takes the form of a Guru and he appears in the front of the jiva. And he helps the devotee to train. He trains the devotee to become Krishna conscious. Here, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is making a point that the need of a living Guru is here. Because we need training. Just by reading books, we cannot become Krishna conscious. We need a sadhu who can explain us the purports, explain us how that thing can be applied in our life by time, place and circumstances. So that's why a living guru is required. A training is required. Even here also in temple, before the brahmacharis has to join the temple, so the new people, they have to join the temple, they have to go through a training. They have to go through a certain training. When they are trained, they have been taught Western etiquettes and so many other things, how to chant, and then they are even allowed to preach outside. So training is required. So similarly, training is also required for getting Krishna to entering into the to go into the Vaikuntha. So a guru is required here. And the third thing, Krishna helps in the form of super soul. The Paramatma is always there inside, and he always helps the conditioned soul from within. If we are hankering, if Paramatma in the heart sees that we want sadhu sangha, we are hankering for prema bhakti, Paramatma in the heart, he sees and he makes appropriate arrangement for the jiva. He makes appropriate arrangement for the sadhu sangha. He sees that the jiva, the conditioned soul, since he has developed a desire to become Krishna conscious, the Paramatma in the heart, he makes all the arrangement for that jiva to become Krishna conscious. The only thing is what we have to desire. We have to desire for prema bhakti, we have to desire for sadhu sangha, and all the arrangements will be done by Krishna. So simple. But we don't desire, we don't hanker. Hankering is required, crying is required. Until and unless we cry, until unless we cry for this sadhu sangha, until and unless we cry for prema bhakti, this one manifests in our life. So whoever wants to take advantage of this particular thing, then whoever takes advantage of this opportunity becomes liberated. Thank you very much. Please forgive me if I committed so many mistakes. If there are any comments, questions, suggestions, please come ahead.
As per one shloka of Bhagavad Gita, the probability of knowing and reaching to Krishna is 1 out of 1 billion.
Problem?
Probability.
Probability of?
Reaching to Krishna.
Reaching to Krishna.
And knowing Him is 1 out of 1 billion. Because out of many people try to be Siddha, out of many Siddha, only one knows like that. So,
yes.
So that is one extreme. The other extreme is that even a chandal can approach Krishna and reach Him. So these are very great extremes. What is your comment about this?
Both are right, but between the both is one particular thing. Between the both is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His associates. And by their mercy, the second thing is possible. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, it's very out of millions one can reach Me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, He opened the doors, and He sent all His associates, like Srila Prabhupada, in this material world. And can we imagine, can we believe that such particular thing, that Srila Prabhupada went to the US and all of them became Krishna conscious and everybody was dancing? We have videos also, we see that. But it's hard to imagine how this happened. So before Srila Prabhupada could have gone to the Western countries, I remember there was a discussion when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he called a meeting. And in this, they were discussing about Prithvita Yasi Nagaradi Gram Sarvatar Pachara Hoilomara Nam. They're discussing. And some of his disciples showed disinterest and lack of faith in the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there was one personality who was not showing disinterest, and neither he was keeping lack of faith, Srila Prabhupada. Even though he was a grahastha in that meeting, but still, he was having full faith in the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was keeping full faith in the words of his guru, because his guru, they also wanted that this thing should happen, that all the Western world should become devotees. When Srila Prabhupada was walking down the stairs from that meeting, Two of his godbrothers were discussing and said, who will do it? Who will do it? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had sent some disciples, but they are not succeeded. Who will do it? Nobody can do it. They said, nobody can do it. Then Srila Prabhupada was walking around. He just turned around and said, some fool will do it someday. Some fool will do it someday. Nobody thought that a personality like Srila Prabhupada will go to the Western world and he will sabko duba diya Krishna prema. He distributed the causeless mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu more than anybody. Today all over the world, we have 650 centers, more than that in all over the world. We have devotees, and actually ISKCON is the real United Nations. We are the real United Nations, because all the peoples from different countries, they come together, sit together, hear classes, chant together, take prasad together. So we are actually United Nations. Others, they claim United Nations, but they are not yet united, any nation. But still they are called as United Nations. I don't know why. The real United Nation, the real job of the United Nation is done by Srila Prabhupada. So we should thank Srila Prabhupada and all his disciples who are 24 hours a day, 365 days, they are trying to propagate this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So during the time of Lord Krishna, when he spoke to Bhagavad Gita, it might have seemed difficult. But now, since Chaitanya, same that Brajendranandan has come as Sachisuta, everything is possible. And one day, the whole country, the whole world will be Krishna conscious. We'll see devotees all around.
Thank you.
Prabhu, yes, Kans, Bali, Ravan and Prahlad, father Hiranyakashyap, they took a path of confronting with the god.
Fighting.
And confronting and having. But they ultimately got maybe the Ravan was knowing he's a lord. And he got the moksha or whatever salvation, moksha or whatever blessing we can call it. What do you think in today's Kaljuga also, people who, because we take the bhakti, I'm giving you just a dimension, the bhakti takes its own time. Because you pass through the tamasi, rajas and satviki. But some people who indulge or do the wrongs, even knowing the god is there, they say, I'll be the first one who will be picked up. How to justify this?
To them, how to justify?
No. The concept of that, like Ravan was knowing that he is a lord, but that he not fallen in a correct path. But okay. That he says, the Bali, he said, I'll be blessed. Because the God will come and teach me the lesson.
So first, we have to understand one particular thing, that with all these pastimes of Ravana, Ravana, Kumbhakaran, Hiranyakashyapu, Hiranyaksha, and Dantavakran, Shishupal, this is actually the Lord's divine pastimes. Because Lord, he descends here in this material world to teach the conditioned souls. This actually is a drama performed. This is actually a drama which is performed by the Supreme Lord. So to attract the conditioned souls. Krishna wants to attract the jivas to him. So he comes down, he does by various arrangements, he performs these different pastimes and he attracts the jivas. So these all are the associates of the Lord in one sense. The other sense is that the persons who are wrongdoers, your question is the persons who are wrongdoers, they don't understand. They understand that Krishna is Supreme Lord, but they don't take to the process of bhakti. Actually, we should think of ourselves. Try to convince ourselves first. And try by coming to temple, hearing classes and chanting and by associating with the devotees. First of all, we should try to practice and bring it in our life. Then by seeing us, automatically so many of you near and dear ones will change. There is no need to convince others. But first we should practice. First we should become and surrender to the Lord. And then by our own and by our own acharana, people will become devotees. And already there's so many devotees. Already so many devotees and throughout the year they have been trying and propagating this message of Krishna consciousness everywhere. So by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the people who are the people will be delivered. It is only a time which is making a difference. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Samaved Gaura Bhaktavinda ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ji Maharaj ki Jai Shri Radhe.